Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, great to be with you on this Monday morning. Look, we wish we had a 2-2 series. We're a 3-1 Sixers series lead. But, you know, the Knicks have found ways to win games, and the Sixers have found ways to lose games, and it's brutal. It really is. All right, give you some good news here. Cooper DeJean getting a lot of praise, both locally and nationally, for what he'll bring to the table for the Eagles. Here, John, is from Pro Football Focus and a write-up they had of Cooper DeJean. Here's what they write. The talk of DeJean playing outside cornerback or safety or slot corner at the next level is not due to a lack of a home position. It's because he could truly be an impact player anywhere. His footwork, ball skills, and explosive athleticism make him an impactful outside cornerback, one with all-pro potential. Pretty big write-up right there.
Boy, Eagles, all-pro.
I know. Eagles got an A. From Mel Kiper, one of two teams that Mel Kiper gave an A to. And a lot of
it.
Who
else got an A? Was it the Steelers?
It was.
Seems not like the Steelers got a lot of
the Cardinals. Love. The Arizona Cardinals are the other team that got an A.
So, you know, it's look, they're getting high praise. All right, let's go to the phones. The Eagles, the Sixers. If you want to weigh in on the Phillies, obviously you can as well. I mean, they deserve praise. Unfortunately, just hard to squeeze them in here today. But, John, something tells me we're going to have a lot of time in the month of May to talk Phillies baseball.
You think?
A lot of time. So give me an answer.
That should be very exciting.
Well, yeah, but it would have been more exciting coupled with Sixers playoff action. James, give me an answer to this question. We will undoubtedly, when the season ends, and it may end as soon as tomorrow night, we will do, obviously, a poll that we'll figure out the exact wording, but it'll probably be something like this. Should the Sixers trade Joel Embiid? Where do you think, James, let's say they lose tomorrow night, where do you think that poll result would go? Where will that show be, you know, 2, 3, 4 days from now? What percentage would say it's time to trade Joel Embiid?
It's fascinating. I think in the moment, it'll be more than probably if we waited 2 weeks after. But I think it's going to be close to 50-50, maybe even more than 50% say trade him.
Might be.
Which is, we've definitely never been
there. Now, John, are you there yet?
My gut says it's going to be more than 50-50.
Yeah.
I mean, I am.
You're the expert at guessing those, too.
But, so. I'm lucky sometimes. This is one where I have been so steadfast, and I have believed that they could actually get this thing in gear and that Joel could change his spots, so to speak.
I'm not going to wag my
finger. Feel like that's like reasonable to expect. Like I don't know, this whole process, I do think it has broken me almost to the point where you are broken, Joe.
Well, I'm not broken.
Are you sure?
No, I guarantee I'm not broken. I'm incredibly frustrated. I'm aware that this whole thing will probably end without a championship, but I'm not yet ready to trade him when I know what that represents, which is totally starting
I'm
over.
I feel so.
Because you don't trade Joel, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it's not for a player. Like,
right.
I can't get Anthony Edwards, all right? Not happening. We're, no, we're way past that point. By the way, that guy might be.
He's the next superstar.
In the next year or two, the best player in the NBA.
He is fun.
He is
too.
Great. And you
he's
know what
fun
he also
to watch,
is?
And he's fun.
He's extraordinarily confident when he talks.
Yes.
He talks.
So
like
does
how
he
a,
say extraordinarily like that?
Well, can I ask you a question
what?
About extraordinary?
What?
What idiot came up with that word as a way to talk about something special? You're extraordinary? Let's make that special. Yeah, extraordinary. It's
a extra, great word.
It's extraordinary. Like, you're so ordinary, you're extraordinary.
Not a bad point. I never really thought about it.
I mean, Seltzer,
yeah.
Right?
No, yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, does that make any sense?
It's really strange.
Some idiot, number of centuries ago.
To be not ordinary.
Yeah.
Extra not ordinary.
Yeah, let's make really special extra. Extraordinary.
Joe.
All right.
Good point.
Let's go to the phones.
Oh, yeah, God.
They missed it. They really did. You went the wrong way with that.
The things that trip you up, Joe, like literally are mind-boggling.
All right, let's go to Drew in Westchester. Yes, Drew, I dwell on these things. Hello.
I think it's a good point, actually. I may or may not have thought about it at some point, too, so I'm with you. So I'm with you there. So I got a point on the draft and then a point on Bradbury. Yeah, overall, I give the Eagles a A-. I think they did a real nice job. I shared this with Seltzer on Saturday.
Well,
I thought
what's the minus then, Drew? Like, if they did a really nice job, why are you minusing
How
them?
About the third-round pick and might not play for 2 years?
The
third-rounder, John.
Yeah.
My minus, Richie, would be that I was hoping to attack offensive line a little earlier. I like the kid we got from Michigan late, but I was one of the people who would not have minded a lineman in, like, the first or second round. Now, I do think Mitchell's a good player, and I'm excited about him. I just hope Tyler Steen can, you know, play and all. So that's my minus there.
Yeah, no, this draft showed that they have more faith in Tyler Steen than a lot of us as fans did prior to the draft.
Like, I think Tyler Steen and Jordan Davis are the two guys who, like, they're probably heaping a lot of responsibility on, and we'll see. Sink or swim, we'll see. Because they, you know, also, I mean, because those
are. I like the way Tyler Steen played in limited capacity. You know, like, he was nasty and mean, and he would try to grate people, like, smush them into the ground. Yep. Love that part. I can't imagine, like, counting on Jordan Davis more after watching what happened in the second half last year.
I mean, that's where they are as of now. Now, could they make a trade? Sure.
I think, yeah, you have to keep looking at that spot because of the way it looks.
Listen, maybe they're going to trade a cornerback for a defensive tackle.
They very well could.
They've got 77
so
cornerbacks.
Seriously. Young and old and short and tall and, geez, every different cornerback you could imagine.
I know. All right, Drew, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I would also say Dallas Goedert was kind of a winner just in them not taking a tight end at all. One thing I wanted to say on Bradbury, Joe, I know you were talking about him maybe playing slot and all. I don't think he can do it. I actually feel like the Eagles tried that
I don't want him anywhere near the field. I mean, God bless the guy. Terrific career, great player in 2022. I saw enough last year to say that guy's got to go. Now, obviously, the one caveat is if he was injured,
he was banged up, and hurt, and he didn't let on, and didn't broadcast the injury.
But I will
let's
say,
see what it looks like this year.
The way they draft it doesn't speak great to that possibility.
Yeah, I think his role is like backup on the outside and mentor guy, and hopefully he's okay with that. He might not be, but he seems like, you know, a good dude, so hopefully he can just kind of embrace that. But I think he would really struggle in the slot, so don't think that can be a thing.
Let me put this out there, Drew. Appreciate the call. I someday want – Seltzer, see if you can arrange this, like, 20 years from now. I want the James Bradbury, because Drew's saying his role now is mentor guy. You think WIP at the end of my career will pay me – I don't know, $10, $15 million in 1 year, just to be a mentor.
Probably
not. Yeah. I'll mentor someone who's 10 years old right now, will be 30 years old in 20 years from now. I'll be mentor guy.
Probably not.
I mean, all right, John, I think Bradbury's going to be gone. I'll tell you that. The way this whole thing shook out, and look, I think they'll probably try to trade him.
Yeah.
But if they can't, then, look, you really got four
James
options.
James Bradbury is a smart pro.
I know he is, but he just
didn't show that he could run well last year. And if that was due to just being banged up, in addition to being, you know, older or whatever, like, maybe he can be a little faster. Maybe he can still be viable with his anticipation because he knows what routes to expect. He really is good at that part. Just not the full speed running part.
You know who's also good at that? Like Rod Woodson. He's probably 55. Don't want to sign him. Don't want to sign him. Joel Embiid, he's looking older and older by the day. I still think he's injured. I thought Nick Nurse made a dramatic mistake yesterday. Horrendous mistake playing Embiid the entire second half. Let's listen to Joel commenting after the game on playing so much. And look, we all know B-ball Paul was a disaster in the first half. And the Sixers had going what, you know, I remember the Cavs used to have with LeBron in his prime, where you'd be in a playoff game and he'd get you the lead and then he'd be off the court and then the lead would be gone. So Nick Nurse wanted to try to avoid that in the second half. But in the process of that, Embiid got completely wiped out. Here's Joel after the game and logging so many minutes.
In this series, so I was like, you know, I mean, I got nothing to lose. You know, I just got to push myself, and obviously it didn't work out the way I wanted to. But like I said, it's whatever. It takes a win.
You know what's a really annoying line in there, John? Got nothing to lose. Wow.
I thought it was annoying that he kept saying whatever it takes to win, because you didn't win. Whatever it takes
to try to win,
you didn't do it.
Right.
Like, you didn't do enough, man.
No, you didn't.
So, I think you missed the mark on that. Whatever it takes to win, you say that after you have sacrificed so much that you've won.
So, let me just say this, because I know he's kind of taking a beating and he's going to continue to take a beating, especially, I mean, on the air here at WIP, especially if they lose game five. But I will put my hand up and say, I think he's trying really hard. Now, I'm not saying this isn't a reason to consider trading him, because I get you can't trust him thing. I'm not eschewing that, okay? But I do believe he's trying his hardest this year. I will go back to what I said a week and a half ago. I think he's still injured, and he's clearly not fully conditioned. The two fundamental things, fully conditioned and healthy, I think he's neither.
Right.
And I think that's bad luck. Now, if you want to trade him because you say, well, we run into that bad luck all the time, and let's avoid – you know, the definition of insanity. It's a reasonable argument. I'm not saying it's not unreasonable, but I object to those, and there are many, that are implying he's not trying his hardest or that he's mentally weak. I don't think it's that this time. I think it's been that past times.
I just don't understand.
He just doesn't he's not capable right now of playing spry NBA basketball for 40 minutes over seven games, let alone over, like, 28 games.
You know,
he can't do it.
He talked about the fact that he's been here for 10 years. Yeah. That sort of surprised
me. Well, me too.
Well, the first two he didn't play, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
The 10-year thing, it popped out to me because I thought, well, after 10 years, you should have a much better idea of what it takes to win in this league. You should, and you don't. And we continue to see it.
But John, what about he's actually injured.
Because,
you know, that's
on,
what I was
on,
saying in
on.
March. In
is
April.
He, though? Because
yes.
They told us it was a meniscal tear,
John, he's injured.
And they scoped it out. And that was over 2 months ago, and he had plenty of time. What I'm seeing now is him not trusting this thing, where he's got a giant.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Brace on what something that was scoped out and fixed. It unless we find out that there's another injury that happened.
Well, like, there was the buckle in game 81.
Look, maybe we'll never know the truth. It feels to me like Joel is not. He's not going to deal with injuries the way I hope he will deal with injuries at any point in his career, so, because it's always too big a deal.
Look,
it's always the fixation, and you can't treat an injury like it's the thing, because it'll take away from your game, and that it always does.
Look, here's where I'll land on that one. I think what you're describing is all the past instances. I just think this one's different. I just do. I think, you know, when his knee buckled in game eight, you know what was very telling to me? When he did not play game 82. His knee buckles in game 81. Game 82, they enter that final night of the NBA regular season with a legitimate chance to get to the sixth seed and not have to play the seventh seed. And the star center was kept out of the game. And I think he re-injured his knee a little bit. And I think this is just a matter of him.
He needs to learn to trust it. It's going to feel bad. It's going to feel clunky and clicky, and things are going to pop, and you will be scared because of the way it feels.
I think that
he doesn't know how to deal with that.
I think the injury and not being conditioned are far bigger problems than his mentality. Listen, we'll just disagree.
Sure.
You know, it is what it is.
It is impossible to know.
It is impossible to know.
And I am basing this somewhat on previous experience. So it's unfair.
Right.
He has done a poor job of dealing with injury in the past. I'm attributing that to this as well, because it doesn't seem like he's putting it out of his mind the way he needs to for this team to have success.
All right, Seltzer, I need something from you here. Can you just take a bite out of Tobias for me? Hockey shift. I'm off the ice. You're on the ice. Tobias Harris.
Yeah, get out of my city. Get off my team. This guy has made what, $180 million here? For what, man? The stat I read before, he's played 71 second half minutes. He scored 10 points. 10 points. He has zero blocks, zero steals. He's never taken a block as a Sixer. Like, he is a waste of space. He's all obviously a waste of money.
He's never taken
a block. He's never taken a block as a Sixer.
Incredible.
Think about that. He's supposed to be a hustle, try hard guy. He's never taken a freaking block.
Lowry comes in
Josh
here and
Harris,
he's taking
Josh Hart eats his lunch.
Practice.
Like, it's just an embarrassment.
You know, I'll say this. So we talk a lot about the disastrous mistakes the Sixers have made over the last seven or so years. Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, on down the line.
Harden, yeah.
The whole Harden thing, the whole bunch of things. The Tobias signing. And, frankly, let's peel the onion back further. The decision to trade for Tobias, which at the time was basically a pathway to, all right, we got to re-sign him. Like, we're going to get him with half a year to go on his deal, and then he's a free agent. And when you give up those assets to get that player, you get someone that, like, you basically got to keep, because otherwise you kind of screw your whole salary system. The irony is they got Jimmy Butler the same year and did not retain him, but they should have, and it was the same theory, and they totally bungled it. But the point is, like, it wasn't just signing him. It was actually selecting him. And I'll give someone credit. Spike Eskin. I will never forget the morning after the 76ers had acquired Tobias Harris. Spike looked right at me and was like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to quote him verbatim, but basically he was saying they went in for this guy and he's probably not good enough for this guy to be the guy they go in on. Not just what they're trading. That is basically like, all right, you're going to give this guy a max, and you're going to be hitched to him for the next 5 years thereafter. And, I mean, he was dead on. I mean, Tobias Harris is killing the Sixers. I saw something where I forget the exact number. I think it was 11 or 9. He's made either like 9 or 11 baskets the whole series. Like he's played in 4 games. John, he's got like 38 points or 40 points or 36 points or something. Like he's made a couple 3-pointers.
I have no faith. I mean, he'll make anything happen.
He's horrendous.
I expect him to miss when he shoots, and I expect it to be, you know, like a weak attempt.
Well, that's the other thing.
In sort of guarding and staying in front of guys.
Weakness is
other
problem.
He gets blown by all the time defensively.
But he's zero free throws in the second half. Right. Think about that. Like, he never goes up strong. He never, takes it to the hoop. Like, he is so weak as
a
player.
He's weak. And he's physically weak. He's mentally weak. He's obviously aging. I mean, it's like, it is so over with him. Ed in Phoenixville. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, guys.
What's up, Ed?
Joe said impotent first, so I'm going to piggyback off of that with Tobias Harris and say it was a flaccid effort on his part.
It was.
Another thing. Sort of a revision from the I'm a man, I'm 46. It's I'm a man, I'm 40. 6 points by your bench.
Well, yeah. You know, Ed, their bench stinks, but you do give his causality to play.
I'm a man. I'm 4-6.
Now that is when the 76ers made us proud, Ed.
Yeah. So just one more thing, then I'll jump off. You know, I was taught playing sports, both football, with run blocking and rebounding in basketball, it's about 1-2. It's not as much about ability. Yep. So when you let a guy who's 6'3", 6'4" grab 17 rebounds, that's on you, Tobias. Like, find Josh Hart and box him out. Like, that's I got nothing else. I'm so frustrated.
I get it, man. I get it. You're not wrong at all. I mean, it's a disaster. Tobias on the boards is killing him. Oubre, he's slight. I will say this. And I know people don't want to hear it, but I'm going to say it. 2 small guards are not going to rebound much. Oubre is not going to rebound much. Embiid can't jump.
You know what, though?
Tobias is overmatched.
It is about urgency. Think about yesterday at the end of the game when Kyle Lowry tried to take a 3, and he knew it was off the moment he released it.
You're right.
He immediately took off to the hoop, got his own rebound. It's effort.
This team
needs to play with more effort. Like Kyle Lowry, when he knows he missed the 3, you can all crash the boards with that same sense of urgency every time a shot goes up.
So that's
what the Knicks are doing, and that's why they're winning.
I agree, but here's where I'm going to slight disagree. I think you're only talking about 1 or 2 players, Tobias Harris and Embiid, if you want to put them in that category. I have no problem with the effort of anybody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have a problem with the effort of Lowry, Batum?
No. Well, with
Batum a little bit.
Batum,
come on.
James, he's so old.
He is so old. I agree.
It's not an effort issue. The guy
doesn't put his back on people. There's no
oldness,
they don't box out. They don't do these things on like the simple stuff. Yeah. They just don't. Joel Embiid is the biggest guy out there, and he can't. He got 10 rebounds. Josh Hart had 17. Like, I know you're tired and all that, but I mean, what are we talking about here? It's a playoff game. Like, I'm flummoxed by this.
Nick Nurse,
he had 8
though,
rebounds the game before that. Like, he's the biggest guy on the freaking court, man.
James, Nick Nurse, though, did have a massive miscalculation.
I agree, but like,
I mean,
at the same time,
I agree, but
they keep, like, the numbers were like, they were plus 48 with Embiid on the floor and minus 39 with him. Like, whatever. I know it was a bad decision, but at the same time, when no one gives you anything, putting Paul Reed out there is a automatic, you're going to lose 10 points against the other team. Like, it was a mistake.
Well, listen,
he's in a spot. Like, he just doesn't really have.
Well, no,
I
agree.
Nick
Look,
Nurse's
you know,
decision no. or was it Joel's decision to play?
I don't know. I mean, ultimately, the coach is the coach, but maybe they both wanted to do it. I'll say this: to me, that one, in large part, roundabout way, goes on Daryl Morey, because I told you at the time they gave freaking B-ball Paul whatever the hell $20-something million last year, and I was like, what for this guy? Now, I know $20 million in the NBA isn't $20 million in other walks of life, all right? Scrubs make $5 to $10 million
a year. Still a lot of money.
Yeah, yes. I mean, in a salary cap world, like, he's just he's just not good.
They've never really been able to solve that backup position.
And I mean, it's been a rotation.
It's been a failure.
Yes, it's been a debacle. All right, let me tell you what has not been a debacle lately. The Phillies. Let me give you some facts. And this is courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia, which after the Phillies win yesterday and the sweep, put up a cool graphic with some good facts. Straight facts for you, John. Here we go.
Straight facts.
Straight facts. Phils, 19-10, best record since 2011 for the Phillies. 18 wins in April, ties their franchise record with 2 days to go. 11-2 record in the last 13 games, and a 17-6 record in the last 23.
That's amazing.
It is.
I do not remember anything like that for the duration of our show at any point.
No, it's pretty spectacular. And then 6.3 runs per game in their last 12 games and 21 home runs in their last 12 games.
I'll add one more fact. They're only one of three teams that have 19 wins. They're tied for that. I mean, I know they're behind the Braves, but them, the Braves, and the Yankees, the only three teams in baseball with 19 wins.
You know what is probably the most impressive of all facts, and sadly I don't have it in front of me, whatever the starting pitching ERA is.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, you have, like, all these dudes that are amongst the leaders in baseball for ERA. Like, a whole bunch of them. Turnbull. I mean, Nola's
Ranger
one of the highest
Wheeler,
guys.
Yeah.
Ranger and Wheeler.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to have these arms. It's really great. Now, the Taiwan thing obviously is going to irritate people for however long it lasts, and we'll see how long it lasts. And man, the Sixers are just – it's tough, man. You love them, but you kind of can't stand them at the same time. It's weird. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie on an obviously busy Monday morning on 94 WIP. Hey, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook and how you can get in on all the action with the NBA playoffs and Major League Baseball, from dingers to blasts and moonshots and whatever you want to call them, whatever form of words you want to apply to a home run. Everyone loves the homer. And with FanDuel Sportsbook Dinger Tuesdays, you can love them even more, because FanDuel Sportsbook with Dinger Tuesdays, they're back for another season on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. Just bet on a player to homer. All right, time's yours coming up in 10 minutes. Some more audio this segment as well of Jeremiah Trotter Jr. on joining the Eagles and his father's impact and the whole thing. What a cool story it is. Got a layout for little MJ here. So is this Tobias?
It's Van Halen playing the guitar solo, right?
Really?
I've heard that.
I mean, MJ knew how to make this the greatest song he could make it. Went out and got the most fantastic guitarist in the world to do the solo and everything else. It's so distinctive.
It's a great song. Unfortunately, it signifies James Seltzer and 10 million other Philadelphia sports fans' desires for Tobias Harris to hit the road. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's get to Hassan. He's calling from Strawberry Mansion. Hi, Hassan.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How you doing this morning?
Doing all right, Hassan.
Up and down. You know, like, the Eagles thing kind of cool. The Sixers thing really uncool.
I feel you. I feel you with that. Like, Howie gave us an amazing weekend. Best weekend, in my opinion, that he's had in his tenure.
Well, we'll say. We'll
say. That's my opinion. I feel like, you know, right now,
I thought the best weekend of his tenure was February 4th, 2018.
That was a big one. Yeah.
Well, the players,
you know, he keeps applying, Hassan, he keeps applying the knowledge he accumulates.
Right.
He's doing.
Like, I like what he did here. Yes. I've been begging since whatever the date was in February that we lost it to address this defense. And for him to go out there and do it in the way he did it, and then to come back at the end and get that stud from Michigan that I don't know how he fell that late, but thank you. That was amazing. Now, on to my six.
Yes, sir. Go for it.
And I am totally appalled with my city right now. It went from, I'm going to be honest, I heard the MB comments prior to seeing what happened in the stadium after the game.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, the audio we played earlier was as Knicks fans were leaving right after the game. But let's not get it twisted. Like, that type of chant obviously was being directed at Joel during the game. You know, not maybe in unison as heartily.
Like,
but he heard a lot of stuff from a lot of people yesterday courtside, obviously.
I'm sticking to my stomach, for one, that they came here and not only took over game three, they took over game four. Like, nobody's appalled by this. It seemed like everybody has given up on this team that could easily, if some buckets and calls went their way, have went 4-0 or be 3-1 themselves. Like, the way we've given up on this team, and Joel has played his heart out. Like, and I'm probably one of the biggest Joel critics. And he has played his heart out. He gave us 50 in game three, came back and was four assists away from open shots that were missed, like, from a triple-double. And we're talking about the game was his fault because he couldn't get off the court. Because what was behind him couldn't play. Like, if he got off the court, we wouldn't even have had a chance to win. And we're upset with him for this. Like, since when do we not award hard work and dedication in the city? I just don't understand. Like, we've been begging for this guy to show us some heart, and he's finally showing it to us.
So I agree with you.
Around him.
Hassan, I agree
with
you.
Clearly, Daryl Morey and Tobias, heavy. Like, heavy on the Tobias.
Yep, that's
like
right.
17 rebounds from a 6'5 player is unthinkable in your home court. Like, what is going on there?
Yeah.
Like, how is nobody putting a body on Josh Hart? He didn't score any points hardly, but he killed us on the rebounds. We were down 25 rebounds, and 17 of them went to him.
Yeah.
It doesn't take skill. It just takes
Appreciate it, buddy. It's a lot in that phone call. Before we get to the Twitter poll and how people voted on the Sixers fans or the Sixers organization, let's listen to what Joel said after the game, his disappointment with Sixers fans for not showing up enough.
You guys have always had such great home court advantage here. How strange was it for you the past two games with the significant amount of Knicks fans in the house?
Disappointing. You know, I love our fans. Think he's unfortunate. And I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. You know, obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, you know, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
I don't blame him for being upset. I really don't.
I did not realize those cheers and jeers that were directed at him until we heard that earlier in the show.
Let's play that again.
It's harsh.
Let's play this again. So this is, to be clear, Joel's at this point probably back in the locker room with the game over, but this is Knicks fans leaving the stadium, concourse, escalator, all that stuff, and this is Knicks fans in unison, and we obviously have to bleep out the F word that's repeatedly said. But it's very clear they took over the building, and this is what they chanted. I mean, that, John, I've never heard that in a Philadelphia.
That's in our arena.
I know it is.
So when he says it's disappointing, like, initially I was annoyed with him. I was uninformed. I was not fully informed. Yeah. And look, I agree. That is disappointing that it got to that point.
Because it also did impact the game. I mean, you can make the case.
No doubt.
If you have 98% Sixers fans, which would be like a reasonable number to have, 98% Sixers fans, like, maybe the Sixers win the game. Maybe. Maybe they don't, but maybe they do. Let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let Armin Chevy be your electric vehicle dealer. Arriving shortly, the all-new Ultium-powered Chevrolet Blazer EV. Together, let's drive. To ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, who's more to blame for so many Knicks fans being at games 3 and 4 in Philadelphia? The Sixers fans or the Sixers organization? For everything that the Sixers organization obviously represents. John, I got the poll results. How do you think people voted?
I'm going to say it's hard to point the finger at yourself. So 90% say the organization?
It is not that high, but it is close to that high. It is, and you're right, pointing the finger at yourself is... You know, it's 74% Sixers organization. 74%. 26% said Sixers fans. You know, I got a text from a buddy last week after game three. So this would have been Thursday night, railing at fans for not showing up. Now, to this guy's credit, he'd been there. Like I said earlier, I don't think you can really criticize much if you don't go yourself. I mean, you can't tell someone how to spend their own money. This guy went, but, you know, a lot of Philadelphians didn't step up. But I get the point about frustration with the Sixers over decades. I mean, and especially the last couple of years, I get it. Yeah. All right, let's listen a little bit more to Jeremiah Trotter Jr. on joining the Eagles. And this was, I thought this was an answer that really speaks to, you know, the influence of his dad in a great way. How, you know, there's no doubt that there could be perceived pressure on Jeremiah Trotter. I mean, Jr. I remember Michael Jordan had a kid in the 80s and in the 90s. I think the guy's name was it Jefferson Jordan or something, whatever. Well, the point was, everyone's like, all right, let's see this guy in basketball. I mean, he stunk.
He was not very good.
Whoever, yeah, I forget his name, but he was horrendous. And, like, that's got to kind of, like, that's got to be no fun. You're Michael Jordan's son. People expect you to at least be something. This guy was nothing. So that's got to be an awkward dynamic. Here's Jeremiah Trotter Jr. on pressure, or perhaps perceived pressure, in following in his father's footsteps, which obviously he's done even before joining the Eagles, just as a football player growing up.
When you were at St. Joe's Prep, when you were growing up, how did you kind of deal with, I don't know if the term's pressure, but kind of all that came with carrying that name's legacy, like you mentioned before?
Honestly, for me, I didn't feel like there was any pressure. My dad always would talk to me and say, I mean, there is no pressure. You're your own player, your own man. You have your own journey. We're different, you know, and as far as how we play the game. And I just got to go out there and be me, use the tools that God blessed me with, and try to just use them to the best of my ability and try to be the best player I can be.
Good stuff right there. Really is. By the way, you know, Axeman is –
they are so
the Axeman
different.
The way they play the game. The way they play is very different. So you got the Axeman, and you got like Axeman 2 or Little Axeman. We'll figure out what that becomes.
So is that like Tomahawk?
Like
Hatchet? No, really.
Just
like,
do the same thing.
You got the big axe, yeah. And he is a smaller axe.
Yeah.
Hatchets, Tomahawks. Like we've got
I
some
say
options
the axe.
Here.
I just keep it right. Just right in the same lane. Because you know me. I stick with what is. You know what? Trot Jr. sticks with what is. Here's Trot Jr. on the nickname thing. Like, are we supposed to call him Trot? Well, let's find out.
Is Trot your nickname, or is that just stick with your dad? That's the first thing.
Yeah, a lot of people growing up always call me Trot. That's really the go-to. I don't know why, but everybody always, that's like the go-to as far as like call me Trot.
This is going to be, I mean, it's great, don't get me wrong, but it's also going to be funky. Like, we're going to start calling another person
a little
Trot.
Confusing.
Yeah, like
and he's going to be number 54, but he's going to look completely different. And he's going—he's not going to be taking on guards the way his dad did,
and blowing up centers, and
yeah, he's not going to be up in the A gaps destroying.
I remember that
offensive line.
All right, so one more piece of audio related to the whole draft and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Here's Howie Roseman over the weekend. You know, look, this is good stuff. I thought it was kind of funny too, but. You know, obviously, you got to draft someone for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons. I mean, this is not like the old baseball situation when Tommy Lasorda drafted Mike Piazza as a favor to, what, Piazza's dad.
His
like
dad,
the
yeah. 61st, I want to say.
Something like that. And they turned into one of the great catchers of all time. But that was just a favor in its infancy. Look, you don't draft an NFL football player as a favor. You certainly don't with only 7 rounds in the draft. And Howie made very clear his thinking that, you know, drafting Jeremiah Trotter Jr. was for the right reasons.
We can't make up a grade on any player just because we like them. You know, I make a joke a lot of time, you know, the best person I know in the world is my wife, and I don't want her playing linebacker for us either.
I mean, makes sense. There it is. Crafty.
Well, I don't know. Have we seen her 40 times?
I'm not sure. All right, let's go to the phones. Elizabeth's with us. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Oops, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good morning. So I know you guys are running out of time really quickly. I think that, first of all, Joel should not be criticizing fans. You know, he should be turning into himself and looking to see what he can do to help win the next 3 games, which obviously is a major long shot. I think they're going to win in New York, get our hopes up to come back and then lose. That's what I think. Also,
lose
you
here,
can't
huh?
blame. Yeah, that's what I think. You can't blame the season ticket holders as well, who literally carry the team throughout the season. You have to raise. You have to blame the organization. They are the ones who are controlling the prices, which, by the way, are outrageous. And you know, I think they're feeding into the market, the New York market, and they're always going to come and buy our tickets. And by the way, it was horrendous yesterday. I was there. It was absolutely horrendous. I've been to Sixers games since I was five. I've never heard a crowd like that in my life. Oh, so geez. Lopsided.
Lopsided. So more Knicks than Sixers at times?
At times, definitely at times. I mean, they were everywhere. They were next to us. And the guy next to us was telling me how, when anyone sits down next to me, I want them to identify themselves. Are you a Knicks fan? Are you a Sixers fan? So this guy said he grew up in Philly. He's an Eagles fan, a Phillies fan, and a Flyers fan. Someone in his family had been a Knicks fan. So they, you know, it's awful. It's painful being next to those Knicks fans the whole
listen,
game. But...
yeah, look, Elizabeth, and great phone call. I mean, we don't obviously love the subject matter in that it's not a fun story to hear, but I hear you. We all hear you. Look, the Sixers have I was going to say no one to blame but themselves. Almost no one to blame but themselves. I mean, there is some unfortunate reality here when you're playing next, you know, so close to the financial capital of America. Some people are going to buy tickets. I mean, it just is what I mean. It
you
is
know,
what it is.
What she's talking about is something I wasn't thinking about though. That like the cockroaches in Dallas. There are also the cockroaches from New York City. The Knicks cockroaches showed up for this one. That had not occurred to me.
Well,
that makes it even worse.
So,
but they were there on Thursday night.
Yes, they
and
were.
The Sixers won, and the Sixers fans were able to drown them out towards the end because you don't know why? The Sixers won the game.
Sixers won. That's right.
Okay, the Sixers didn't want to rebound in the fourth quarter and didn't score for 5 minutes.
Brutal.
And Joel's disappointed in the fans. I mean, that's what I can't wrap my head around.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to, as we do every day at this time. All right, Time's Yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Discover the nation's best-kept secret and switch to Xfinity Mobile, now at the best price for two lines of unlimited. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Here we are. Niners pick is in at 129, and the Birds are three picks away from getting Trot Jr. If they do that, this is going to be the best draft I've ever been a part of as far as just hype and excitement. Great job, Howie. Just please don't trade out of it. And... they traded the pick. No Trot Jr. for us. And they still get Trotter. Oh, my God, what a roller coaster. Go, Bird!
That's a dedicated Time's Yours call.
It felt like this draft, it did work out that way. Like, it was a little roller coaster for a little bit, but it kept working out. Howie, wonderful job.
Well, and got the 3, 4, and 5
together.
And picks next
not
year.
Just for this year, for next year as well. Right. Yeah. And all of that with the most trades, tied with the most trades in the history of the organization.
This team, I've never seen a team that can't rebound to save their lives. It's unbelievable. Possession after possession, offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds. They can't rebound. It's absolutely pathetic. They deserve to lose. End the season. It's a disappointment. It's a disaster. This team sucks.
It's brutal, man. I hear you.
I'm done with the Philadelphia Greg Oden experiment. You didn't get the MVP, so you picked up your ball and went home. Things get tough in the playoffs. You pick up your ball and go home. We rooted for you. Go get your gold medal. We'll be happy for you. But when times get tough, man, JoJo, you just don't show up. Adios, buddy. Time's yours.
Yeah, I mean, look, we see this different. That's been very clear today.
I wonder what Jerry Jones was saying when Brandon Graham said, and as always, Al sucks. What a beautiful moment. Made my day.
It's actually become really fun. You know, the draft, I enjoy. I think it's improved over the last 5, 6 years. You know, as much as I hate it with that Drew Pearson did here, you know, it stirred it up. David Akers went down there, stirred it up.
Also set the template for these outdoor drafts, which are so much cooler to watch.
Trendsetter.
Yeah, they're
City of Philadelphia.
They're doing a nice job.
Yeah, they are. It's a big deal, man.
It's fun.
It really is. And I also give the league credit. The move to the 3 days, I think, has been very effective. You know, I mean, I wonder. And you know what was another key? You know what was key? However long ago it was. Going from 12 rounds to 7 rounds. Because sometimes more is less. Like, you can watch the draft
less
when
is
it's
more.
No, more.
No, you're saying going from 12 to 7, that's less.
No, I know, but I'm more. Saying when you had more, it was less effective.
Okay, well, now it's less is more.
Correct.
I got you.
Yeah, so anyway.
I'm
all right.
Really confused.
And with that, we shut it down. That was
the Times Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
So, you know, maybe tomorrow we do a poll. I mean, I'm just kicking around in my brain. Because I think people are kind of split on it. Is Joel Embiid trying his hardest? Like, what would you say to that question, John? Because I believe
yes.
He is.
I think he thinks he is. I think he's holding himself back unknowingly by attributing too much to the knee.
And I don't think so. I think he's just injured.
He needs to put it out of his mind, and that's the hardest part about coming back from an injury. He still has to get over that hump.
Well, all right, look, we'll see where we take the conversation tomorrow. Obviously, tomorrow will be a game day in a, you know, winner-go-home game 5. Enjoy the Phillies. Mm-hmm. They start a new series tonight versus the – it's out west.
Angels.
The Angels, that's right. Oh, Mike Trout. All righty. All right, so the Phillies versus Trout tonight, and obviously, you know, more reaction up ahead for the next many hours. On the draft and on the 76ers and on the Phils. Enjoy Joe and Huther up next. We shall talk to you tomorrow.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.